If you'd be so kind as to turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 17. The title of this message is, We Must Be Broken. And as you're turning there, I want to recap what's been going on in the last several weeks. We talked about light and darkness and how important it is that the light that we have in us be pure light. If we don't have the light of the gospel in us, then how dark is that darkness in us? I believe that we have light, but now we're going to take a step into maturity. What does that mean? It means that for every step that we take to grow up, God breaks us. He breaks us. God bless you. Psalm 51:17 says, The sacrifices you desire, this is God, is a broken spirit. You will not reject the broken and repentant heart, O God. For us to go on in the things of the kingdom, we must lay down the things that is childish and child's play. We must. And if we don't do it on our own accord, God will do it for us. You see, the greatest enemy to serving God and fulfilling the will of God in our lives is ourselves. And God wants us to grow up. I said a couple years ago to this congregation that it's going to get real, real soon. And we are there. The reality of what I have been prophesying to you and trying to encourage you to begin to embrace the preparation for what God wants to do in your life and through your life is now here. And as I have said, if we willingly surrender, if we willingly recognize the hand of God and we surrender those things that God has been after us for so long, the breaking is not as severe as it is if we continuously resist Him, resist what He wants, stay in rebellion against His Word and His will, then the breaking will be even more severe for us. God is not after breaking our spirit. He's out to break our will. Okay? He's not angry with us, but we know that with children that are rebellious, parents must bring the rod of correction to the seat of understanding as quickly as possible for the good of that child. And it hurts a parent having to use that method of correction, but in the long run, it saves the pain of heart. And this is exactly what God does. The scriptures tell us that God disciplines us. He loves us so much that He disciplines us as children, as sons and daughters of His. And His discipline is not grievous, it's for our good. And what we do is we set up a life in which we think we know better than God. We think we have all the answers. We do all this stuff. We get the Bible, we intellectualize it, and we think we know. Well, we don't know anything. Because we don't know the ways of the Lord. We don't understand what it is that He's trying to accomplish in our lives. And the plan that He has to use our lives. And so what happens is we're constantly going through this mode of life where we suffer difficulties. We're involved in a lot of tribulation. We do things at the whims of our emotions, at the direction of our situations. And we don't entertain in going to God and finding out what He says in the Word for us. Is that anybody here? I'm there. Because I know I don't like listening to God. Because every time I listen, I got to give up something. But I've matured enough to realize that the jewel that I get in return is far more better than what I've been trying to hold on to. How many of you remember that I taught about, you know, receiving blessings? What we do is we receive a blessing, we hold on to it. When we're supposed to take that blessing and give it away so that we can receive more from God. And what we do as children, what do children do? When we give them a new toy, they don't want to share it with anybody. Right? And they want, if we give a toy to one child, they want that toy. They don't want that kid to have that toy. They want that toy. And we're exactly the same way. In just because we're in adult bodies, we're in this. And God wants to break this type of behavior. And the way He does it is He has to break us. Now, I'll go back a little bit and explain that we are a triune person. We have a body, which I call the outer man. And in the outer man, we all know that it's filled with sin, right? It has desires, it has its wants, and most of the time we listen to it. Then we have our soul, which is being renewed. In the soul, we have our mind, our will, and our emotions contained in there. And a lot of times what happens is our flesh dictates certain things, our emotions dictate certain things, our intellect dictates certain things. But the most important element of who we are is our spirit. And our spirit, when we received Jesus Christ, became regenerated, or the light went on in us. And God is constantly trying to get us to grow in Him. And I can remember when I first got saved, there wasn't a moment I wasn't in the Word. It wasn't a moment. When I was at work, I was reading. When I was home, I was reading. At the dinner table, I was reading. In the tub, I was reading. In the shower, I was not reading because I couldn't figure out how to read the Bible without getting it soaked. But I looked for those things, and at the time I didn't know you had these big roasting plastic bags. If I could figure out that they were out there, guess what? I would have been reading in the shower too. But I didn't know about those things. And what do? We read the Word of God for recognition. We read it for recreation. We read it to fill our heads up with a lot of knowledge, and we fail to understand that when we're in the Word of God, this is not only our spiritual food, it is the direction of God that when He reveals something to us and our hearts are pricked by the Holy Spirit, He wants to deal with us in that. Amen? Now, how many of us continue to be in the Word to get our hearts pricked? I do. I love it. I love the Word of God. I love what He has to say. I hate the process that I have to go through, but I do love the Word of God. Turn to Mark, the 14th chapter. And Jesus gives us an example here of our need to be broken. Mark 14, verse 3. You see, inside of us, in our spirit, is the true person that God has created us to be. What God is trying to do is grow us up to get that person out. Mark 14, verse 3 says, "And while he was at Bethany," this is Jesus, "in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came in with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, spikenard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head." And I've heard all kind of teaching over the years about this passage here, but I want us to take a little bit different approach and really see through the eyes of the Spirit what Jesus is trying to get us to understand here about the breaking process. First of all, Jesus is there. Jesus is resembling the Father. He's out here. He's reclining. He is not at all worried about what's going on in our lives. He's reclining. He's at rest. He's in total control. We don't know that. What does oil symbolize in Scripture? The Holy Spirit. The anointing. The Holy Spirit. And where is this oil contained? It's contained in the alabaster jar, right? The alabaster jar symbolizes our outer man. Did she just pour out the alabaster, the jar, the oil? Did she? No, she didn't. Did she just uncap it and pour it out? No, she broke it. Only when this flask, this jar was broken, was what was contained inside, that sweet aroma. And if anyone has smelt the oils of spikenard, you know, I had a jar at one time, and I just left it, the cap off. It will permeate the rest of the house. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot. It is so strong in its aroma that it will just filter through the house given time. And what we see here is that she broke the flask and she poured it upon Jesus. What we see here is, until we are broken, we are of no use to God. If we're not, if we have the light of Jesus Christ within us, and God wants to use us, then He has to break us in order to get the light in us out. Does that make sense? This is, we're talking about spirit life now. There is the anointing. We have that anointing. That anointing is contained within us. But what do? We run around and we listen to everybody telling us what's going on in our lives. We don't dare go to God. We don't recognize the hand of God when we go through trials and tribulations that we set up for ourselves. When we're in a test, and the leaders know that everything I give them is a test for one reason or another. Why? Because I want to see the light of Jesus Christ come out of them. If we're in a situation where we're cussing because we're not getting our way, if we're ignoring our responsibilities, if we're blaming others for our situations and stuff, you have failed to realize that God is trying to break your will. That's what He's after. He's after your will. He wants your will to conform to His will, to the point where we recognize that God is in the midst of us, that He is doing something, and we say, "Yes, Lord." It's not enough to have this mental assent that, yeah, God is at work and God is doing all these wonderful things for us. And we were challenged in Truth Project. And the challenge is, do you really believe that what you really believe is really real? And I've been leading up to all this for the last 2, maybe 3 years to let you know that that reality is coming. Well, that reality is here now in your life. Do you believe that the decisions that you made were the best decisions you can make? Or was your situation dictating the decisions that you were making? Or could you see the hand of God trying to direct you to break your stubborn, stiff-necked will and conform to His? You see, there is no doubt in my mind we have eternal life. Okay? When we receive Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. He has given us His life, His uncreated life. We have it. God is not interested if we have it. He wants it out of us. Just like the blessing, when we receive the blessing and give away, He wants us to give our lives away. And how do we give our lives away? If we willingly don't do those things that God wants to do for us to do, He will cause those situations and decisions and circumstances that we have made, and He will turn them into trials, He will turn them into tribulation, He will turn them into testings, so that your will be broken. And I can't tell you how many times. I remember when I first got started walking with the Lord, and I'm reading this word, and I'm cranky. I mean, what did you call it before? Crotchety. I was crotchety. I mean, I was 11 on a scale of 10. You know, I was bad. And I come out of there, and I mean, I tossed my Bible, and Irene says to me, "What is your problem?" I said, "God's dealing with me in 3 areas, and I don't like it." And she says, "Well, suck it up, because that's what you chose. That's what you did. That's what you got. So suck it up." And it was like she took a bucket of cold water and like, "Oh, Oh, okay, now I understand. Did that change my demeanor? No, I still pounded. I still was mad. I still acted like a child. But I understood what was going on. And that's what you have to understand. Your decisions outside of God has created a situation that God will use to break your heart and break your flesh in such a way that you eventually yield your will to do His will. It's not Satan. It's God. And our focus is so wrong. Romans 1 says that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. There's nothing unreasonable in doing that. We find it's unreasonable, but it's not unreasonable to God. He wants to kill your flesh, because in it no good thing dwells in that. He wants your spirit to exude, to take over your mind, take over your emotions, begin to start thinking like God thinks, solving problems like God solves problems, walking with God, to eventually be like Enoch that you were no more. Can you imagine having a relationship like that? That's what God desires. That we're so caught up in God that He catches us up with Him. To be broken means to be in a state of being crushed and to be reduced to submission to God's will. We call it the wine press. God puts us in the wine press and He begins to start turning it. Anybody seen a wine press? Okay. Wine press has this big old lid on top of this vat, and on the bottom there's this little tube, and on the top they turn this. Well, Irene and I, we did better. We stomped the grapes. We were the wine press. We've done those things. And God turns His wine press. And He turns it, and He turns it. Eventually He starts squeezing us. And all of a sudden, the junk comes out. All of a sudden, our attitudes begin to arise. But that don't faze God. He's still turning. He's out to break you, and He's out to break me, so that He can use us for His glory. That's why we were created, for His praise and His glory. That's what Scripture says. I don't see anything in there that says that I was created for myself. And when I received Jesus Christ, He has nailed me to the cross with Jesus. And in those areas that He wants to deal with us, whether it's a marriage situation, whether it's an individual situation, whether it's a family situation that we're not dealing with, we don't want to deal with, God squeezes it. He squeezes it to get us to a point to understand that we need to die to ourselves to win the relationship, to win that person back to God. That's the purpose for us. Now, this breaking can be gradual. In my case, it was a gradual breaking. There was this constant pressure on me. And eventually, I had enough of this. And I was taking it out on Irene. And she just throws that bucket of cold water on there and she says, "You're funny. I laugh at you." You know? She still laughs at me. Because now I'm funny looking. Not funny. But she loves me. Yeah, I know. God is trying to bring discipline into our lives. And if we don't willingly accept the discipline, He will bring the discipline. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The reality of it is, you named the name of Christ, you gave God permission to discipline you. You just didn't understand what that meant. Well, God loves me. He does. That's why He's disciplining you and me. But I just don't think that what He's doing is right. Do you think what you're doing is right? Well, I never thought about that. Well, you know, God does. And to judge God saying that He's doing it wrong means that you're on the throne, not Him. And everything that He does for us is for our good. Right? How many of us want to know what God says about our finances? How many of us want to know what God says about interpersonal relationships? How many of us want to know how to relate to God? How many of us want to know how to be a blessing to our employer? How many of us want to know how to be the husband or wife to our spouses? how to be a parent? None. My Bible says none have sought after him. No, not one. I wasn't seeking him, but he found me. I didn't find Jesus. He found me. Did he find you? And if he found you, what is he telling you that he wants to do with you? And why are you resisting his hand? Because in this breaking, if it's gradual, that means we're yielding. But then there's the other end of breaking. Sudden. Everything comes crashing down on you. You can't stand the pressure. You can't do it. And you're just totally laid out before God. And that's happened to me too. It's happened to me. And it's happened to Shad. Because I don't go by his will. No matter how much he's trying to get in. You see, at the cross, our flesh is put to death. But at the cross, we receive something from the cross. We receive our wounds. Just like Jesus received his wounds when he went to the cross, so do you and so do I. You know, you don't come away from the cross without being wounded, without being distressed. But you do come away less of yourself and more of Christ. And to the point where you get to where I'm at in my life, when I look back to the cross, I don't see anything before the cross. Irene and I, we've met with friends we haven't seen in years, and they're talking to us about the stuff I used to do. And I'm like, I honestly don't remember. But don't you remember you were this wild and crazy guy? You did that. And I'm like, I look at Irene, I said, did I do that? She says, I don't remember either. It's like, my past has been dealt with. I don't remember. My past doesn't hold me hostage to my future. I have left it. I've forgotten it. It's not worth holding on to. And you're griping and grumbling and complaining, and your infantileness and juvenileness has to be dealt with at the cross and then left there. You can't change your past, but you can make your future in God. You can. The problem is we love ourselves too much. We are selfish and self-centered. We want what we want. We don't want to do the right thing. And God is trying to get this light out of us. He's trying to get this light so that when we walk in the flesh, people see Jesus Christ radiating from us. This is what Moses, when he was at the top of the mountain, he had to put a veil over because he radiated the glory of God. He was in the presence of God. Whether you understand it or not, you are in the presence of God even at this very moment. And when you leave here, you should be radiating more of Jesus Christ, not more of Gary Stiles or Nolan Bryan. You should be radiating that. And you shouldn't put a veil on that. You shouldn't apologize for who you are in Jesus Christ and the relationship you have with God. You should put them to shame. Because what's normal to us, walking with God and living a life that glorifies Him, isn't what they want. And we've come from that. We've come out of that. They're blind to the grace and dealings of God. Because it's always someone else's fault. They're always a victim. They're always this. But they don't see that God is doing this to draw them closer to Him. God's doing this to draw us closer to Him. But to have more of Jesus Christ come out of us. I'll give you a nugget. I'll give you a nugget out of my own life. The day I stopped complaining and making excuses was the day that the Lord started shining out at me. And guys, we've heard this. What's the two most important words we can learn? Yes, dear. Yes, Lord. Why? Because you know what? They're not our slaves. They're our helpmate. And when they're asking for help, we shouldn't be couch potatoes and computer nitwits and say, well, after I'm done this is more important. No. That relationship that you established with that person should be the second most important relationship to God. Even to your children. Your children is important, but they're going to grow up and they're going to leave. And if you put your relationship on hold with your spouse so you can focus all your attention on your kids, you've got it wrong. That's not how God has designed it for us. What's the purpose in all this? Without experiencing brokenness in our spirits, we will remain inert and not grow. Our spirits will be contained in us. And that's why you have people 40, 50 years walking with Christ, not growing a lick. And what happens is they become embittered, angry people, because they don't realize that the hand of God and the purpose of what God is trying to do could still work for them. Just because you're ancient like me doesn't mean that you can't learn new things in God. See, the vision here is to raise up you guys. But that doesn't mean that the legacy stops. By the legacy, I am to impart to you what God wants. So that when I expire, you take that experience on to the future, to the next generation, if the Lord should tarry, to fulfill the destiny of the church. And how many churches are now fulfilling the destiny of the party spirit? If you're a Presbyterian, you're fulfilling the Presbyterian creed, not the creed of God. Or the Catholics. Or the Methodists. That's why there's so many Pentecostal churches springing up in these last days, because they see something that they don't have and they want, but they don't know where to go to get it. We are part of that. And the purpose of God is not to keep us inert, but to grow us. And the more we release this spirit out of us, the more we become Christ-like. If you understand that. It's the flow of God coming into my spirit, and I'm reaching out. It isn't about eternal life. We have eternal life. It's giving life to other people. God's about life, not death. He's not about us sitting on our duff, serving ourselves. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. I ran into this woman one day in Walmart, and I said, "How are you doing today?" "Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored of God." I looked at her and I'm like, "What the heck does that mean?" Because she had such a miserable puss on her face, it had become just jargon. Like, you're supposed to say this. If you're having a bad day, have a bad day. Be honest, at least, you know. But don't, "Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored of God." I'm like, cut me a break here, sister. Get real. It doesn't matter how charismatic we are. It doesn't matter how much ability we have. It doesn't matter what our gifts and talents are. If it is not used of God, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter how much Bible knowledge I have. What it matters is I'm experiencing God in a new and living way each and every day. And that experience continuously challenges to open my heart up and pour out life to the world that needs it. You got saved to save someone else. Did you know that? And the more we pour out, the more we give of ourselves, the more we have confidence in God. The more light we have, the more understanding we have, the more wisdom that we get. Knowledge puffs us up. And you heard me last week. I said, I'm not impressed by what you tell me you know. I judge your fruit. I look at your life. Not that I'm condemning anyone. I understand where you are and where you're going. But if your life is on hold and you're still living the same way you did last year, still living in a holding pattern for 4 years. "Well, you know, I'm getting it, Pastor. I'm getting it." What are you getting? What are you getting? You're getting older. That's all. Your life isn't changing. You're not impacting your community. And you don't have a vision for the world as God does. And I hate to say it. I also believe that if you're not being used, then your spirit begins to dry up. Because then what happens is our selfishness and self-centeredness keeps us from being in the Word, keeps us from applying the word. Because faith without works is dead. And if it's dead, which is not of God, because God's about life, what's your life say about yourself? Are you pouring out? Are you giving your life for Christ? There are brothers and sisters throughout the land that don't even have a Bible, but they're laying their lives down for Jesus Christ. And Nikki's going to be our missions coordinator, and she's going to share some of the things that's going on in the world. That people, you know, we could fit maybe 50 to 75 people in this room. Just come into this room, there's hundreds of people in foreign lands gathering to hear the word of God. You know, there are Christians in Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, and they're dying for their faith. And we're so worried about, I hope Pastor finishes so I can get home to watch a football game. Go on a mission trip. I encourage you, go on a mission trip. Ask God where He wants you to go. Go. And what I've been expressing and what I've been telling you will become real to you because you have an experience in God that no one can take that away from you. The experiences I've had in God are moldable. And I encourage you to seek God. Allow Him to break you. Allow Him to break your outer man. Kill the flesh. Kill the desires of the flesh. Kill your past. Kill everything that is hindering you from becoming that man and woman of God. And if we have spouses that don't want to move on with God, that's okay. That is okay. It starts with a personal relationship with God, with you. Don't hound them. Don't beat them to death. They want to walk in darkness. Let them walk in darkness. Well, Pastor, you know, they say they're saved. Well, what's the fruit? Well, they're not in church, and but they love me to go to work. What's the fruit? Is there righteous fruit? We're not, you know, we are allowed to judge in righteousness. We are. Spiritual people judge all the time. And that's what God wants you to become, a spiritual person. Not an intellectual person. Not a super Christian. He doesn't want that. He just wants you to fulfill what He's called you to do. Amos was called out of the pastures to come and prophesy one time. And off he went. He did what God asked him to do. I mean, the things that God asks us to do in the flesh will seem hard. But in the spirit, they are so glorious because they fulfill the purposes of God. Don't you want to fulfill the purpose of God in your life? Don't you want your life to mean something? Have a reality and a substance and a depth to your walk in Jesus Christ? Because the next reality that we're going to see, and it's happening in this land, is out-and-out persecution upon those who believe. And you will see such a great falling away in this nation from Jesus Christ that if you don't have a rock-solid relationship with Him, I can't encourage you. I'm prepared to die for what I believe in. Are you? And I don't say that glibly. I've been to foreign lands. I've seen how the brothers and sisters suffer. I'm preparing the church for this end time move of God. And God wants all of us to be involved in this. Not be begged to participate, but willingly jump in and do our part. Amen? Father, we just thank You for Your word. I ask, God, that You continue to break me. Break us, God. Break me of old habits. Break me of things that have come across in my life, God, that's not of You any longer. That even the childish things that I have, God, You have done so much to bless me, my family, and this church, God, and I thank You for that. But now it's time for the church to arise. It's now time for the church to shine. It's now time for the church of Jesus Christ to make a declaration, to be a voice in the land, to influence people, and not be ashamed of the gospel. Not to be ashamed of worshiping the only true and living God, creator of heaven and earth, father of all living creatures. God, help us to understand and see the dealings that you orchestrate to break our outer man so that the light of Jesus Christ can come out of us. Father, have your way with me. Have your way with streams. Most importantly, God, help us to willingly want to do your will. So that when we stand before you, and we will stand before you in that judgment day, God, not for condemnation, not for guilt, but for rewards. May we have a massive reward pile up there, God. And hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of the Lord. God, that will be a glorious day. But it will only happen as we yield ourselves to you. I ask you, bless your people. Open up their eyes to see what you're doing in the land and not what the devil's doing. And respond to you. And allow those disciplines to come in. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.